This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نحمده ونستعينه ونستهدي ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فنسأل الله تعالى أن يغفر لنا ذنوبنا ويكفر عنا سيئاتنا نسأله بعلم نافع ورزق واسع وعليه نتوكل وإليه المصير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. أيها الإخوة السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. And mercy of Allah be upon you all. We begin always by praising Allah. He alone is worthy of all praise. We seek His forgiveness, guidance and His mercy. We ask Allah to give us beneficial knowledge and wide sustenance. Amen. And we send peace and prayers on His final message, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli wa barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita wa barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Carrying on with our fiqh al-sirah, last time I think we focused a lot on the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina and how that took place and where he settled, etc., and the building of the Masjid, Masjid al-Nabi, and its importance in uniting the community and what the community is uniting on. And let us build on that, because what happens very early on as well, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in building on what united the Muslim Ummah, which I talked a bit about last time, and the common creed and the beliefs that brought us together, this theme continues throughout the Quran and by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam being the exemplifier of the Quran. It was there in Mecca and it became not just a theory but a wide practice in Medina itself. And that is the idea of ukhuwah, or brotherhood or sisterhood. When we say brotherhood, of course, it doesn't exclude the sisters. So we don't need to say sisterhood. English language leaves you with this. Ukhuwah, every Arab knows, covers both. Okay, but this is to do with those special bonds that are between believers, these bonds I mentioned last time and the reason for them. And this ukhuwah is general, but the Prophet ﷺ built on it something very special for a limited period of time. And if we talk about the general ukhuwah, then the general ukhuwah itself, as Allah SWT says in the Quran itself, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً, surely believers are only but brothers and sisters, and giving that idea of closeness and warmth, and that brought itself general duties of love, concern and care for one another. Many ahadith in regards to ukhuwah. The Prophet ﷺ, for example, saying, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibbu li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsi." None of you really believes, has iman, until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. And this is not your blood brother. This is not talking about your blood brother. Blood brothers and blood sisters take a higher priority. If that is for the general community, this is Ikhwa fil Islam. The deen that brings, the special bond. So none of you really believes until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. In a way, not even equal, it's giving preference to the other. Giving preference to the other. And this is really the way of the Sahaba, as we'll see. Giving preference to the other, not just loving what you love for yourself, but actually giving preference, which is going even a higher stage of ukhuwah. Various other hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentioning in hadith Qudsi, for example, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will aid his slave as long as the slave aids his brother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give help to the one who gives help to his brother. This is that bond again, encouraging. And many hadith, including Qudsi, about covering the mistakes of the other and Allah will cover them on the day of judgment. You know, all these kind of things, these are all to do with that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in a famous hadith in Muslim, mentioning sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لا تحاسدوا ولا تناجشوا ولا تباغضوا ولا تدابروا ولا يبع بعضكم على بيع بعض وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا. Allah, the Prophet ﷺ is saying, do not envy one another. Do not envy. This envy is an envy with hatred. This envy is an envy of hatred, to want to be so envious of someone and jealous that you hate what they have and you wish Allah took it away from them and give it to you. Do not envy one another. And remember, the exception to that came in other hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, authentic, which said, envy is not allowed except in two instances. Yes? Yeah? For the one who envies, and this envy is not full of hatred. But the Prophet ﷺ used the word, same word, hasad, and gave it a new meaning. What? In a case of a person who has lots of wealth, and they're spending it fi sabilillah during the day and night. So to have envy in that I wish, Ya Allah, you gave me wealth like you have given him or her, so I could do the same. Not, Ya Allah, I hate them so much, why don't you take it away, destroy them, give it to me. But because you want to do more good works. You see the difference. Yeah. Or one who has knowledge, I think it is the second one, and they give benefit to others. Yeah, from them, in the way of Allah, to please Allah. So all of the objective and the desire is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with more amal salih, to get more ajr. Yeah? So that's not that kind of envy which is mentioned in this hadith of ukhuwah, of brotherhood. La tahasadu, don't have that envious hatred of one another. Wa la tanajashu, and do not inflate prices to one another. Wa la tabaghadu, and do not be full of hatred and anger for one another. وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا, and do not turn your back on one another. Do not let each other down. It doesn't mean literally turning your back. Yeah. It doesn't mean that, say, you have to walk like this backwards to each other. Yeah. It means do not let one another down. وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا, and do not undercut the prices to one another. وَلَا يَبْعِ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَعْءِ بَعْضٍ. Yeah. So somebody's offering this and you come and say, no, I'll give this. This is not allowed. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا, all slaves of Allah, all of you be brothers to one another. عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. المسلم أخو المسلم. A Muslim, one who submits to Allah, is a brother of another one who submits to Allah. How far we are from that. And I'm not talking about just in our mosque. Look at our Muslim ummah. We can't even tolerate difference. And I'm telling you, that is such a fundamental problem in not tolerating difference of opinion. Yeah? We are so quick to judge and misjudge people. And the Prophet ﷺ warned us about it. Warned us to the extent that a Muslim who calls another kafir, then if he is not, and we are often not sure, we just come out with spouting it. Yeah? Such a dangerous thing. Then one of them becomes it. So the one calling, if he's... just, you know, coming out willingly. He becomes a kafir. So dangerous. Yeah? Forget calling, kafir. We kill each other because we can't tolerate a difference of opinion. And difference of opinion is such a fundamental part of this deen. So many ignorant people and lay people don't realize. They think deen is just black and white, you know. Yeah, it's like that or like that. And if they see anything different, oh my God, what kind of Muslim is this? Yeah. Don't get me wrong. There are those few who've gone beyond the boundaries. Yeah. Beyond the boundaries. And even then we give respect to ignorance and following others and still give them an opportunity if they have La ilaha illa Muhammad Rasulullah. Very difficult to call them kafir when they have that. Even they may be doing big sins. Yeah. That's the issue I'm talking about. Yeah, this separation. So here, Prophet ﷺ, وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا المسلم أخو المسلم لا يظلم ولا يخذل. It does not wrong one another. Wrong? Look what's happening. And we say we're following Quran and Sunnah. Sometimes I look at, when I'm studying, I look at the debates of present day and past day scholars. Majority of them, brilliant etiquette in disagreeing with other scholars. Brilliant etiquette of respect and love. And they are 180 degrees opposite to the opinion of the other, I'm telling you. And big issue, small issue. But some, I read and I look at it, and one's so nasty to the other one, and in reaction, the other one doesn't think to control it. They're nasty, and I'm talking about some famous scholars. So I'm reading that, what's the thing? Why did you have to say it like that? It's so harsh. Why do you have to put it so? But generally, this is not etiquette of ulama. You'll see ulama have brilliant etiquette in there, not like lay people. So there's no need for that. You differ, but dignity and respect. Following this, what the Prophet ﷺ is saying, لا يظلم ولا يخذل, does not wrong them. And a Muslim doesn't wrong another one. ولا يخذل, does not let them down. وَلَا يَكْذِبُ, does not deceive them or lie to them. وَلَا يَكْذِبُ. بِحَسْبِ مْرِئٍ مِّنَ الشَّرِّ أَنْ يَحْقِرَ وَلَا يَحْقِرُ. Just before I come to that. And does not look down with contempt on the other. How common is that? It's common not only with people who have this caste idea. And it's so prevalent in our Asian Muslim community, isn't it? Actually, to some extent it's there. Actually, it's in the Arab as well. Arabs have got it with Arab, non-Arab. Many of them. Many of them. That same prejudice the Prophet ﷺ came to wipe out, they couldn't get rid of this jahli idea. Yes? There are those who are exception to that. No doubt about it. But rampant it is still. Yeah? They might have it in their tribal things actually still, but they certainly have it with Arab and non-Arab. And it's sickening when you see it, because I've seen it. And been I know lots of Arab brothers and sisters, and there's some amazing people I've met, of course. This is not a generalization. But we got it in our system from the Hindus. We could never get rid of it. This stupidity of caste and looking down. He's a mochi and he's a cobbler and he's a milkman, a dudman, and I'm a chowdhury and I'm such and such, and I'm a sheikh and I'm... You know, and I'm, you know, Sayyid and all this, just based on nonsense, yeah? Based on not even anything authentic to suddenly link them to the family of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Vast majority of them. It's a lie. It's a pretense. Yeah? And what does it give them? Nothing in the hereafter. So we have this ignorance of looking down, and perhaps in this society, it's wealth, as it always be, and status, you know. I'm a doctor, you're just a cleaner. Or I've got lots of housing and you know, just the way you deal with, treat with people. Yeah. Looking down on others. And the worst of it, I'll tell you, is the religious people. I'm not saying they've got most of it, but I tell you it's the worst of it. Why is it worse? Because they're supposed to have deen. Yeah? Deen. Deen's not supposed to make you... I'm a pious Muslim, I look at these, you know, they're following, yeah, they're just ignorant people and looking down on them, or really abusing people because of perhaps they're not so practicing or well informed. This is not the way of Rasulullah. Rahmatul lil alamin didn't teach us that, did he? So wala yahqiru, don't look down, because this is from arrogance of Iblis. Isn't that what he did? Hiqar is that, to hold somebody else in contempt. That's what Iblis did. Yeah? So that's why the Prophet ﷺ carries on, and after mentioning all those things, he concentrates on that one. بِحَسْبِ مْرِئِمْ مِنَ الشَّرِّ أَن يَحْقِرَ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمِ. Yeah? It is evil enough for a person. بِحَسْبِ مْرِئِمْ مِنَ الشَّرِّ أَن يَحْقِرَ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمِ. It is evil enough for a person to hold in contempt another Muslim. Yeah. كُلُّ الْمُسْلِمِ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ حَرَامٌ. Oh, sorry, before, I missed a very important part. Before he said, it is evil enough to hold. The Prophet ﷺ, after saying, don't hold each other in contempt, and all the other things I mentioned, he said, أَتَّقْوَى هَاهُنَا. Such a key part of the hadith. At-taqwa ha-huna wa yushiru ila sadrihi thalatha marrat. God consciousness and piety is here. And he pointed to his breast and heart three times. Three times why? To stress upon it. To stress. To make them realize. Taqwa. So don't contempt because you think. And there it's having a go, especially at religious people, isn't it? When Prophet ﷺ mentioned at-taqwa ha-huna, yeah, the only people who consider taqwa is a big thing as religious people. You understand? The people who are lay people who have not much to do with religion, they're not thinking of taqwa when they're looking down on each other, are they? It is the religious people who are thinking of taqwa. You see, notice how the Prophet ﷺ then picks out taqwa. Yeah? To remind the ones who are going to strive to practice, don't look down on others. At-taqwa ha-huna wa yushiru ila sadrihi bi-thalatha marrat. And then بِحَسْبِ مْرِئِمْ مِنَ الشَّرِّ أَنْ يَحْكِرَ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمِ. كُلُّ الْمُسْلِمِ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ حَرَامٌ. Every Muslim for another Muslim is haram. They're sanct. They're secure. Yeah. دَمُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَعِرْضُهُ. Their blood, their wealth, and their honor. The blood and wealth we often understand, honor we do not understand. We think we've sort of cut it out of the hadith, although it doesn't belong there. Well, it does. And it came in the same place of big haram. Yeah. So this is to remind us of a kind of general society that Islam came to build of believers. Al-Muslim man salim al-Muslim min lisani. A Muslim, wonder why it said, a Muslim is the one from whose tongue other Muslims are safe. In one riwayah, the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Muslim man salim al-nasu min lisani. A Muslim is the one from whose tongue other human beings are safe. Human beings are safe. So look at the society, and if you look at the Quran, after mentioning إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى in Surah Hujurat, that believers are nothing but brothers and sisters of one another, what kind of things it talks about backbiting, about laughing, making mockery of one another. Not light, light-hearted joke between each other, but making mockery of one another and backbiting and spying, and all those things are there to stop us from doing that. Spreading slander and lies. Many ahadith came. Yes? So that's the kind of society that Islam was building right from the beginning. And it continued in Medina. So that kind of society in which actually the brotherhood was so crucial. Yeah? That this brotherhood of belief actually took priority over brotherhood, blood relatives of disbelief. Brotherhood of belief took and takes priority over even blood relatives with disbelief, especially when blood relatives with disbelief come with warmongering and hatred to kill other Muslims. Then that enmity changes to something even bigger. Okay? You may have disbelievers who are family, yes, but they have no hatred or enmity with you. What's required there is da'wa and best example, yeah? And those blood ties, to use them to bring them to the fold because you want to save them as well. Not because you want to tick your book and say, I've made a few more Muslims in my account. That's not the intention. The intention is pure khalisan. It is sincere because you love them. Yes? So that's in that regard. But priority, and therefore you find that akhuwa, that the brotherhood has something special called allegiance and alliance. Wala, it's called in Quran and Sunnah. And many people get confused with this, because there are Quranic ayat which mention this, and people have translated it into friendship. Even big scholars gave views like that. I remember reading a fatwa, I won't mention the scholar out of respect for him, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on his soul. And somebody wrote from here, a parent, about the youngster, teenager in school, asking, can I have non-Muslim friends? And they sent the question across to Saudi Arabia, and the answer came back very blatant. You know, we have sports together and they're in the class together. No, you can't have non-Muslim friends. It's haram. No contact. And we give them an excuse. They're sitting in Saudi Arabia. They never lived here. Can't even imagine having non-Muslims and Muslims in the same school, in the kind of situation that we're in. Yeah, but to blatantly, and use Quranic ayat which were to do with something totally different. And I'll give you some of them in a moment, because I want you to realize something about this ahuwa, this brotherhood, and allegiance is not just friendship. It's something much deeper than that. And it's linked with belief and ideas where it even is stronger than the connections with non-Muslim relatives. That's what it's talking about. Most of Quran, when it talks about this, yeah, that's what it's talking about, that kind of allegiance. So for that reason, you find Nuh alayhi salam, for example, in Surah Hud. Yeah? وَنَادَى نُوحٌ رَبَّهُ قَالْ يَا رَبِّي إِنَّبْنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي. Yeah, when his son is drowning, he rejected right till the end. Even when his father's calling him last minute to try and get into the ship, if he wanted to, still rejecting. Yeah. So Nuh alayhi salam calls and says, oh my Lord, surely my son is from my family. Because Allah promised to save his family. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies to him. Yeah. Innahu laysa min ahlik. He's not from your family. Innahu amalun ghayru salih. Because he is bad in conduct, bad deeds. Because he's kafir, he's rejected. Right till the end, he's rejected. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, he's cut off the ties between you. Because those ties will not maintain till the hereafter. That's what it means. Yeah. So see how the ties cut off. And then we find, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in regards to this allegiance and bond of brotherhood, in Surah Tawbah, verse 23 onwards.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا
لا تتخذوا آباءكم وإخوانكم أولياء إن استحبوا الكفر على الإيمان ومن يتولهم منكم فأولئك هم الظالمون. Surah Tawbah is towards the end when the treaty, and there's war going on with still mushriks, yeah? And their treaty is now being broken because some are still causing war and killings. So it's in that kind of context that Allah SWT are now saying, O believers, do not take your fathers, yeah, and fathers here means your parents, aba'akum, wa ikhwanakum, your brothers, means your brothers and sisters, as your allies. Awliya is used here, not friends, as your allies. They are your fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters, but don't take them as allies if they choose disbelief in preference to belief. Whosoever of you takes them as allies are wrongdoers. Qul, say, in can, because they're believers, they had mushriks, yeah, who were on the other side, who were amongst the enemy. So you're not going to give them allegiance against citizens and believers when they're fighting and in war with you. War against you, you see? So you wouldn't give allegiance because you're giving allegiance to the enemy, even if they are your family. Yeah? Not just because of belief and disbelief. As it happened, this was disbelief attached with harb and war. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَأَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وتجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. Next verse. Tell them, O messenger, to the people, if your parents, meaning your fathers, your sons, which means your daughters as well, and your brothers, which means your sisters as well, and your wives, which means your husbands as well, and your tribe and your riches you have acquired, and the commerce and business of which you fear loss, and the dwellings that you love, if they are dearer to you than Allah and His Messenger. That's the crunch, isn't it? That's the crunch. When these things become dearer, yeah, and more loving, what's going to happen? You're going to deviate from Sirat al-Mustaqim. Dearer to you, Allah and His Messenger. And striving in His way. Then wait until Allah brings about His decree. Allah does not guide the evil-doing folk. You mixed up your allegiance. Yeah, giving priority to Allah and His Messenger, you're giving it to other things. Including, it may be relatives. Yeah. And also, yeah, you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for example, in Surah An-Nisa, in Surah number 4, around verse 133-144, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about munafiqeen. And the context, you've got to see how the ayat come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the verses that go before, those who believe, disbelieve, because they're messing about. They don't really believe, just playing games. بَشِّرِ الْمُنَافِقِينَ, give glad tidings to the hypocrites. بَشِّرِ الْمُنَافِقِينَ بِأَنَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا, because for them will be a painful punishment. Who are they? الَّذِينَ يَتَّخِذُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِن دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Those who took disbelievers as awliya. Many people translated this in the Quranic translation as those who took disbelievers as friends. And this is what the alim who I talked about earlier used as an ayah to tell the teenager in school in this country, you can't take them as friends. This is the kind of verse he used. He's talking about munafiqs. And what they're doing, these munafiqs, they're actually taking alliance with the mushrik sitting in Mecca against the people in Medina in warfare. Yeah, or supporting them in other ways, not necessarily fighting, but supporting them by giving them secrets or plotting with them. That's what it's talking about. They took disbelievers, awliya, and the Quran tells you, min dunil mu'minin. Not they took kafirs as awliya, full stop. What does it say? Min dunil mu'minin, instead of believers. Difference, isn't it? Yeah. So don't take the ayah on its own. It's talking about munafiqeen, and it continues to talk about munafiqeen, hypocrites, who took them instead of believers. For what purpose? أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةِ فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. What were they seeking? Respect and honor with disbelievers. Why? Because they had status and power. Look at their reason. That's why it's been trounced basically and criticized so heavily as kufr. Because they wanted respect and honor from, because they were hypocrites. They weren't real believers. That's why they want honor and respect to which whoever has the upper hand, they'll take sides. So they took it from disbelievers instead of believers when they saw them more powerful and full of authority. أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَمُ الْعِزَّةِ فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Reality is Allah saying that all of honor and respect, all of it, is with Allah. You just got it wrong because you're munafiqs. You haven't believed in Allah. You see the context? Again, Surah Mumtahina brings out this idea. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here in the first verse in Surah Mumtahina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la tattakhidhu aduwi wa aduwakum awliya'a tulquna ilayhim bil mawadda. O you who believe, yeah, do not take my enemies and your enemies as awliya, as people in alliance and allegiance. Yeah? Tulqawna ilayhim bil mawadda, giving love to them. Giving love. Good, that kind of bosom and closeness because of the allegiance. وَقَدْ كَفَرُوا بِمَا جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. When they have already rejected, yeah, what has come to you in truth. Yeah? What has come to you in truth. يُخْرِجُونَ الرَّسُولُ. Doesn't finish there. They threw out the messenger. وَإِيَّاكُمْ. And you all as well. Didn't they? You understand what it's saying now? Why not give them alliance and allegiance? Look what they've done. Not only did they reject, but they threw out the messenger out of fear of killing him. And they threw you out when truth came to them. Yeah? إِيَّاكُمْ. أَن تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ رَبِّكُمْ. They expelled you and the messenger for no other reason except that you believed in your Lord, Allah as your Lord. إِن كُنْتُمْ خَرَجْتُمْ جِهَادٌ فِي سَبِيلِ وَبْتَغُوا مَرْضَاتِ. And it carries on. And then, in line with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 5 of Mumtahina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَن تَنْفَعَكُمْ أَرْحَامُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَفْصِلُ بَيْنَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Here you see it again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verse number 3. On the day of resurrection, yeah, your blood ties and your relatives will not give you any benefit. As what I said earlier on, yeah? يوم القيامة. Gosh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will divide between you based on what? Iman and kufr. So that huwa again of belief and brotherhood, look how it's, because it's everlasting. Yeah? So Allah saying it here, Allah will separate between you both. We'll separate you. Wallahu bima ta'maluna basir. Surely Allah is all seeing of what you are doing. All seeing of what you are doing. And later on, verse 9 on 7 to 9 onwards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving you for those who are not fighting. Yeah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم أن تبروهم وتقسطوا إليهم. لا ينهى, if you translate it in a literal sense, it's saying Allah doesn't stop you. Sheikh Qardawi said, which I read and heard from him many, many years ago, La yanha means here that it is recommended that you do this, not that you are just prevented from doing this. La junaha or la yanha means, in other words, that not is it only allowed, but you are encouraged to be, to what? To be good, behave good, tabarruhum. Bir means from good, righteous behavior. With whom? Those who do not fight you in the, because of your deen. Those who don't throw you out of your homes and make you into those who are thrown out, left to wander. So those who don't do that to you, which is war, isn't it? And with them, it is recommended that you behave with bir and good. Tabarruhum wa tuqsitu ilayhim. And in a just and good way, all good things you do with them. Which is what I said earlier, isn't it? The idea of non-Muslims in the family or society, yeah, who are not at war with you, etc. Yeah. But the war situation isn't referred to individuals, because on an individual basis, even those who are harsh with you and swear at you in the streets that we live in, what are we supposed to do? Idfa billati hiya ahsan. Yeah. Return a bad turn with a good turn, isn't it? We don't say, right, I'll take my sword out and chop his head off because he spat on me. Do we? War is to be announced by countries, not you as an individual announcing war on every street that you walk on. Nonsense. You say, oh, he's giving me an excuse, I'm at war with him now, so I can fight and kill him. Nonsense. It's total misunderstanding. Yeah. So here we have those who don't elay him. Inna Allah yuhibbul muqsitin. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies that Allah only stopped you in regards to those who fight you. Those who want to kill you, though you throw you out. Yeah? For them, you need to be wary of having an alliance with them. Got it? So this alliance idea, and idea of huwa in Islam, taking a priority. And that was clear, because you have examples like, for example, in Badr, which is going to come, the Battle of Badr, when really you had believers fighting with disbelievers from Mecca, because the Muhajireen had migrated from there. They had families there. So families came from their members of families, came to fight them and to kill them or their Muslim brothers and sisters. So that's why Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, one of the early converts of Islam from Mecca, he fought his own father to protect the other believers and killed him. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. And when the captives were taken after Badr, one of the captives taken by the Ansar, but not the Ansar, the people of Medina, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, look what he said. He said, yeah, and treat them well, the captives. And some people from the captives of Mushriks became believers because of the treatment that the believers were giving them. They were giving preferential treatment to the captives. Yeah. But one of them, Musab ibn Umayr, the Musab ibn Umayr. Remember, he was known as the Qari in Medina because the Prophet sent him earlier. His brother was also one of the captives, Abu Aziz, I think it's Abu Aziz ibn Umayr, the brother of Musab ibn Umayr. So, Abu Aziz says, reporting later, he says that I was being tied, my hands were being tied by one of the Ansar. Not Muhajirs, Ansar. In other words, a stranger from Medina. Yeah, Muslim, tying my hands. And Umayr, my brother, walked past and said, tie his hands really tight. Yeah, his mother is very rich. We'll get a good ransom for him. So he sort of looked up and said, is that how you deal with your brother? He said, the one who's tying your hands is more my brother than you are. Yeah. Why? Not just in a normal situation, we're sitting at home here. It's warfare. Abu Aziz came to kill others. Believers came against the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So what do you think Musab's going to do? Yeah. So he's showing him what this brotherhood. This is brotherhood. And that's an Ansari. And don't forget, he's doing that because you can't forget what the Ansar did for the Muhajirin, as we'll come to even more. We've already seen some aspects of that. So this is the priority given to the brotherhood in regards to Islam. But the Prophet ﷺ did something very special in Medina, called by historian Sahaba after Al-Mu'akha, which he made a special brotherhood between two individuals at the time. This was a focused brotherhood. There's the general brotherhood of the Medina Society of Believers, yes, which we've been talking about, but this was special and focused, where he paired up a Muhajir from Mecca with an Ansar from Medina. So he paired them up, and they were paired up to be special brothers to one another. In other words, they were there to support, to console, so you have support and love and general good behavior with the society, but these two were focused on one another. Yeah. So he paired them up like that, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But something special he did in that as well. That, remember, the Muhajireen, and I mentioned it before, so I'll briefly mention it again, they have left all their belongings, they've been taken off them, majority have come with nothing. So there's no home for them to stay, there's no food for them to eat, no clothes for them to wear, there's no income or earning. They come to a place which is alien to them in those days. Medina had its own climate, had its own culture, had its own agriculture. They're not used to agriculture. If anything, they had some businesses going on, commerce. It was a different commerce. They had no capital funds to start commerce. So they're like, really, like vagabonds, like beggars. They had nothing. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he paired them off, he included in that pairing off that those Muhajir who were in that situation could inherit directly from the Ansari brother. And they were given priority of inheritance over the rest of the family. Only for a short period of time. So this mu'akha was for that time. It was made, ulama all agreed, it was cancelled and made mansukh. It was abrogated after Badr, majority say. After Badr, warfare produced booty. And also ransom of those who were caught, when they were released, the ransom, yeah, provided more wealth. So these people could be given from that. And then it was cancelled. What was cancelled? The monetary inheritance idea was cancelled. It went back to the original of the family having the priority. Yeah? Family having the priority. So, ulama say that... Majority ulama say the difference of opinion that the Quran came in Surah Al-Anfal, which is the Surah of Badr, at the last ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِن بَعْدُ وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا مَعَكُمْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مِنْكُمْ وَأُولُو الْأَرْحَامِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلَى بِبَعْضٍ. أولى ببعض في كتاب الله إن الله بكل شيء عليم. And those who believe believe afterwards and migrated and strive along with you, they belong to you, meaning they're part of you, they're part of society. But those who are related by blood are nearer to one another according to the book of Allah. The ulama said this is the nasikh, the abrogating verse, which abrogated the inheritance which were given to them. Now Allah saying, go back to the book of Allah, that the relatives, the near ones, take the priority of inheritance. Yeah? Allah has knowledge of everything. Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, is reported from him that he said it was another verse which did the abrogation. He mentions a verse in Surah An-Nisa, just for completion, I mention it, verse 33, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِكُلِّ جَعَلْنَا مُوَالِيَ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ وَالَّذِينَ عَقَدَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ فَأْتُوهُمْ نَسِيبَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدًا. To everyone, we have appointed rightful heirs to inherit whatever the parents and near kin might leave behind. Yeah? So that's the original it's gone back to. As to those with whom you have made a solemn covenant, give them their share. Allah watches over all things. So now the share, Ibn Abbas says, those who you made a covenant with the Muhajireen. So give them a share became voluntary now. Yeah. So he says this ayah. Now, Mu'akhat, that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. Imam, an alim called Al-Balazari, you won't have heard of him. I hadn't heard of him before. Al-Baladhari is from the 3rd century. He is a historian, a scholar of the time, who was also, Muhaddithin saw him as not very strong in hadith. He's the first one, and he died in 272 Hijri. He's the first one who mentioned a mu'akha, a brotherhood, special, being made in Mecca as well. In Mecca, there was a brotherhood, according to Baladhari, who comes, as I said, at that time. No other historical work from the seerah of Ibn Hisham, Ibn Ishaq, none of them ever mentioned this. Only Baladhari is the first one to mention it. And others followed him in saying the same thing. Ibn Abdul Barr, for example, the great Maliki Muhaddith, and Ibn Sayyid al-Nas, also the Dahri, the great scholar who was in Egypt, in the 6th century Hijra. He also mentions this mu'akha, this brotherhood special in Mecca. For example, they say that the Prophet ﷺ made that special tie of brotherhood with Ali radiallahu an. Hamza made it with Zayd ibn al-Haritha, Umar with Abu Bakr. They were paired off like that. Umar with Abu Bakr and Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam with Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu an, Uthman ibn Affan with Abdurrahman ibn Auf. So this is a pairing off. So, however, Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn Kathir reject this. They said no basis of mu'akha in Mecca. There was no basis. The reason for mu'akha was Muhajir came with nothing and poor, and Medina, they were given. And why doesn't it come in any historical works before Baladhari turns up 300 years later? So they have a good point. So just to say to you, there's difference of opinion amongst the scholars on this. I'm inclined to the opinion of Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim, his student. Although Ibn Hajar disagrees with him, he's a great scholar. He follows on and accepts what Baladhari says. So just in case you hear about it, there is difference of opinion on scholars whether a mu'akhat took place in Mecca. There are some who say it did, others say no, it didn't. But what they're all agreed on, it definitely took place in Medina in the house of Anas ibn Malik. And it was announced. 45 from Muhajir and 45 from the Ansar. And they were paired off. Paired off like that in Medina. We don't need to go through the list of pairings, how authentic it is, how not authentic it is, but what is authentic, that this special brotherhood was set up for a period of time, which included inheriting from the Ansari. But you saw the spirit of sacrifice and giving preference to the other is not shown just by the Ansar, but by the Muhajir. By the Muhajireen. So you don't see Ansar giving out everything and the Muhajirs lapping it all up. You don't see that spirit. Yeah. And the best story to exemplify that is that of the Ansari, Sa'd ibn Rabi al-Ansari, who was paired off with Abdurrahman ibn Auf, from the Muhajirs, one of the early converts to Islam, radiallahu anhumah. So Sa'd says, and this is authentic, he says to Abdurrahman ibn Auf, look, I have wealth for you, 50% of my wealth is yours, if you accept. And I have two wives. If you like, you can choose one of them, and I will divorce one, and you can marry one. Subhanallah. So Abdurrahman ibn Auf didn't go, yeah. Can you give me some more? He said, no, brother. May Allah bless you. May Allah bless you and put barakah in everything you have. Show me the way to the market. And he worked with his own hands, started business himself, yeah, afresh. And later on, he became one of the richest business people in Medina, Abdurrahman ibn Auf. And it wasn't long before he was able to marry, etc., etc., and build his business. So Allah put blessing. Look at the sincerity. The sincerity you find in response to that. And the Muhajireen used to say to the Messenger of Allah Ya Rasulullah, we've never found a people like this who prefer us over themselves. Yeah? And when they don't have much, they console us in the best manner. And when they have much, they give us. Yeah, they give us without any, you know, hesitation and their preference for us. We're worried that they're going to run away with all the rewards. So they're not complaining out of envy or hatred, but they're saying they're doing so much for us. They're amazing people. We're strangers to them, Ya Rasulullah. Look how they're treating us. They're going to run away with all the rewards. The Prophet ﷺ said, So if you thank them and pray to Allah for them, meaning then you'll get rewards in return as well for doing that, for appreciating what they do for you, and to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them. So this is what I wanted to say about the mu'akha, the special bonds of brotherhood between Muhajirin and Ansar, which the Prophet ﷺ established in Medina very soon, which was, and the inheritance part of it was cancelled after Badr, but the rest of it and that special bond continued. And they were known by those ties, yeah, for a long time to come after. They continued to be known with that special, because they carried on with that special friendship, you could say, yeah. They carried on, even though the inheritance part was cancelled between those people. Tayyib, we will stop there. Next time, inshallah, what we'll look at is Ashab al-Sufa. Who were they? What are and who are the Ashab al-Sufa? Why were they called that, etc.? And if we get time also to look at the Sahifa, or the constitution, which was established by the Prophet ﷺ, briefly, before we go on to what the life brings in the second year of Hijrah. Any final questions before we go to Allah?
Were the Quranic ayats that came to either instruct or to abrogate the rights of these, or the special rights, were they revealed immediately to the Prophet ﷺ, or were they, because obviously in the Quran, I believe they're in different places.
Yeah.
So were they revealed immediately?
They were when they were revealed. That's why ulama say that's when it was cancelled in Badr.
Okay.
And Fal is the surah of Badr. Cool. And remember, it was cancelled after Badr.
Okay.
So it came after Badr, this revelation, to annul what was going on before.
Okay.
Huh.
Yeah.
Allah. We'll have to do that one. Alhamdulillah.